blessed. Happy Friday, guys. We made it through the week. Just gotta be blessed for another day. If you don't know what instrumental that was, it was blessings. Because I'm feeling blessed today, as usual, by Big Sean featuring Drake. But, man, I don't know about you guys, but if you didn't see that full moon last night, you know, please have a chance to look at it again tonight because, man, I love, don't get me wrong, like, I love nature just in general, but, man, I love when there's a full moon, no clouds in the sky, not even stars, then you can't even see any stars, but just feeling that energy, man. I know I said it yesterday, but it was just great. But I just want to say happy Friday, guys. Good morning. And now we're into another day of God is my judge. I actually wanted to start with an angel number today, since it is 11:33. Unfortunately, we passed 11:11 today, but I still kept everybody in my prayers and in my wishes, as always. But with that said, the significance and meaning of angel number 1133, according to sunsigns.org. With assurance of peace and good health, angel number 1133 encourages you to give up all of those fears and worries that are weighing you down. They will lead to a worry-filled future. This also will lead you to all sorts of great decisions and a positive future. It is a long process, but a good one. And I felt like that was a great time to mention specifically that angel number, since it is a full moon. It is tonight is going to be the lunar eclipse. Apparently it's going to be starting around 2 a.m. and lasting all night until, you know, 4:30, 5 o'clock or something like that in the morning. So if you can stay up that late or, you know, set an alarm, I would definitely recommend taking a look at that or being around that. But a side note from the moon and all that energy, let's change the topic. And I wanted to bring up something that I had actually watched or had seen yesterday, an interview with an NBA player by the name of Tristan Thompson, who currently plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And if you don't know him, he had played in Cleveland with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and had won that. One had won a championship with them back in, oh, God knows what year at this point. I can barely keep track. But just what he had to say, I thought it was great. I wanted to play it for you guys and then obviously talk about it after. But it touched my heart, but as well, it was just stating the facts. I mean, to me, it was almost half common sense, but at the same time, you know, not everybody has common sense. So the fact that him as a player just went ahead and stated this comment, I just give him credit for how long he's been in the league and how the type of players he's been around, the type of coaches he's been around. And I'm not saying that he's on the, you know, the greatest NBA team at the moment, but, you know, he's not a person to, you know, point fingers. Let's just put it that way. And let's just see what he has to say. All right.
Hey, Tristan, when things start to unravel in games and opponents start going on runs like that 7-0 Karl-Anthony Towns run at the start of the third quarter, you've been a vocal leader on this team. Is that on Coach Walton and the coaching staff to kind of inspire some change there? Is that on, does this team need more vocal leadership from players? Are you yourself trying to speak up from the bench in a timeout or even on the floor? Like, where's the vocal leadership with this team during those moments?
I'm going to say this. I think no man in this world should rely on another man to inspire them. Point blank player. You could put that in all capitals. Me personally, no one should ever need a coach to inspire you. If you don't get inspired in the game, then you shouldn't be on the court. Losing teams, losing players, you need to get inspiration from your coach. And I'm not with that shit. My teammates better not be with my teammates aren't with it, because I know guys want to win and they want to win badly. So it's not about Coach Walton inspiring you. This is not no freaking glory road. No, you got to be ready to play. Your number's called, you in the damn game. I don't need no coach to inspire me. Never that. Never have. Never will. The day I need a coach to inspire me is the day I'm tired. I'm going to go play with my kids in the park. So I speak for my teammates with that quote. So we don't need no coach to inspire us. I know Towns is a good player, but, you know, we had a game plan for him. And, yes, you know, you want to force him left, but if he gets right, your teammates got to have your back. You got to help your team. It's the same way where if I get beat and I want my teammate to be there, I got to be there for him. That's part of being on the string, and that's how you build a defensive mentality. And the league is hard. It's hard to win. You know, we don't have the luxury of having, you know, that go-to guy like a LeBron, a Kawhi, or a PG, or a Jason Tatum, or Luka. We got to win collectively. So those little things like with Towns or even with Anthony Edwards, we got to shrink and show bodies and make them second guess the move they're about to make.
Wow. Let's just start there. Number two, I want to correct the team he plays for. I apologize. I believed or I thought he played for the Minnesota Timberwolves, but he actually plays for the Sacramento Kings. And unfortunately, they're not, like I said, the greatest team in the NBA. And as unfortunate as it is, he's absolutely right. I mean, as an NBA player, as a professional, someone who gets paid to go ahead and, you know, play this high-level sport, I would have to agree. You should be gaining or retrieving your own inspiration and motivation within yourself. And I have, you know, talked about this before, with, you know, it starts with you. And Tristan, I couldn't have said it. I couldn't have said it any better myself. I mean, he's just absolutely right. And it, of course, it's no disrespect to Luton Walton as a coach. And of course, I'm not trying to, you know, get into sports in that point, who, for those who don't know sports, but I am a sports management major. And don't get me wrong, I can talk all day about sports and, you know, have passion and can, you know, have theories and all that good stuff. But I just want to share a little bit of this interview only because for someone who's been in the league for so long and, you know, has worked his ass off to just be just in the position he is in and the spotlight that he is usually in, and you know, since the Sacramento Kings isn't the highlight or in the spotlight of the NBA, it was just interesting to hear him say those words. He usually isn't as vocal as certain players or certain people. But when, you know, he feels some type of way, oh, he does speak up, and he is one of those, I guess, players that he doesn't care what he has to pretty much say, you know. He's going to just speak the truth, and, you know, that's that. But I thought it was great was that he did say it, though. You know, it's, you know, sometimes you have to point out the elephant in the room, you know, point out the obvious, because until you point out the obvious, sometimes you won't even notice, you know, what really the issue is sometimes. And he was just... I mean, I had never heard him swear. Normally, I don't hear that many, you know, NBA players that swear. But you could just hear in his voice that, you know, how serious he was being. But at the same time that, you know, he's speaking for himself, but he's also speaking for his teammates as well. You know, his teammates really... I'm not saying that he is, you know, speaking for every single person, but if, you know, he feels this passionate, you know, about it for being in the league for so long at this point that, you know, he knows the ropes and knows how the NBA works, that he's like, nah, like, just because we lost and, you know, just because we lost, it's on us. It's really not on the coach. Yeah, the coach can have a game plan and have a goal of, you know, winning and a strategy, but, you know, things change, you know, plans change, you know, and sometimes for an NBA coach, for sure, you got to think on the fly, you got to think on your feet, and you can't always rely on your coach, you know, he's not out there playing for you, you know, but I thought that was great, to share today regarding Tristan. You know, I'm not the greatest fan of his, but after that, for sure. I mean, it really hit home, you know, for me on that one. You know, it's just how I look at it is that there's so many different ways of, you know, inspiring yourself. You know, you don't have to depend on someone else or something else, you know. You should be depending on yourself and, you know, God. But, you know, for someone who has struggled with a routine with, you know, positivity for a very long time, I had to change my routine, you know. I had to change the way I looked at myself. I had to change, you know, what I said to myself, what I said to others, and just kind of, you know, be a ball of energy, you know, instead of being that, you know, negative Nancy. No one ever likes to be around a negative Nancy, you know. But I thought this quote that I had gotten from an Instagram account called Advice that I literally use every day, like I do the Bible app and the motivational app. It's I have to admit it, it's great, and I give credit to whoever finds these posts or whoever makes these posts, but I thought this was a great way of how I started, how I started in changing my routine and for pretty much for the better. Get up early enough to set your intentions for the day. Remind yourself that you're capable of achieving everything you want. You are strong, secure, and able. There is no task too difficult when you believe in your own abilities. Be determined to hit every goal. And I have to admit, it's almost all my podcasts in one post, in a way. And, you know, little bits and pieces, of course. But it hit home, you know. It was just, it couldn't be more accurate. It is setting your mind, if achieving what you want, you have it. You have the strength. You know, we are insecure. We have to make ourselves secure. And we're capable of doing whatever goal we set our mind to. It's just, we think in our mind it's too difficult or it can't be achieved at this very moment because we don't have this and that, you know. We should really stop worrying about what we don't have and focus on what we really do have, because, you know, it can be easily taken away. It can easily be gone in a second. Like I've mentioned, you know, during that car crash about a month and a half ago at this point, and I have to admit that wasn't my first car crash that I was in, except the other time I was the one driving. And you know, it's just scary, of course, to think about or even live in a world that, you know, that life and death exist, that positive and negative exist. But like I've said before, we cannot be ignorant. We cannot ignore both sides. Both sides go hand in hand. It's literally yin and yang. You can't have goodness without badness. It comes down. Is that philosophy? See, I don't even know at that point. But you can't. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And I know I've learned this in class, but I forget what subject it was that, you know, that's almost how the world is it works, that those things are out, things are out there to distract us. There are things out there that makes us want to do things. There are people out there that, you know, bring a certain, you know, characteristic out of us, like I've mentioned before. But excuse me, but we can't shy away. We can't turn our backs and expect it to, you know, all go away when we turn around, or as if, you know, that the person closest to us isn't gonna stab us in the back, or, you know, the person closest to us isn't, you know, talking shit about us. You know, it just, we have to be aware of our surroundings, which is considered being woke, you know. Just, yeah, we can have our eyes open, but sometimes we are still blind to what's in front of us. It's mind-blowing. It's wild that we'd almost rather take someone else's credit or someone else's happiness or, you know, thoughts and ideas rather than having our own and forming our own and building your own foundation, you know. Life is about, you know, leaving a legacy and, you know, building something that is there for years to come, you know. That's what it is, in my opinion, you know. If you die and don't get to do that, it's like you're filled with regret, you know. Not as a person that's alive, but, you know, you just constantly will wish, you know, what you could have done. And like I've mentioned before, you know, nobody wants to feel regret. You know, like that quote has mentioned, you know, regret is the worst. You know, feeling like you shoulda, coulda, woulda. You know, like, that's literally the worst. Like, that, like, makes me cringe just thinking about it. And it's just unfortunate. But that's why we have things to, you know, the alternatives to, you know, push us in the right directions, to keep us on the right track and the right path of, you know, righteousness. You know, it's okay that we get distracted. It's okay if we, you know, window shop technically and, you know, watch things go by. But, you know, just as much as the track is rocky and there are twists and turns, we have to remember that we are on a track and we are trying to get somewhere. You know, of course it's not going to be in a blink of an eye. Of course, I'm not saying like continue the right track and you get exactly what you want, you know, right away all the time, this, that, and the third. No. Of course I'm not even there, or that's not it. Life doesn't work for me like that, more like. But I that kind of brings me to another post that I had found on Instagram, and it's a little bit about what I'm saying here. It says, I saw a tweet that said, I feel like I'm constantly worrying about the next part of my life without realizing that I'm right in the middle of what I used to look forward to. And I felt that. Man, I felt that too when I read it the first time. You know, it's we're consumed. Our brain consumes, you know, urgent, panic, you know, all those panic buttons that, you know, you click. And is it really us panicking? You know what I mean? It's just, or that's just what we're used to. It's, you know, that routine of being, of us being that norm of being scared, of the norm of being scared is installed in our brains. It's like, until we can, you know, get that out and realize as an equation, you know, fear does not equal success, you know. I mean, fear and pushing yourself can lead to something great and good, of course, which can be successful. But if you're constantly scared and fearing and not keeping that the positive energy, then, you know, you're not going to feel like you're going in the right direction. And I want people, I want anybody to move forward in the right direction. You know, I want people to be happy. You know, it's not as bad as people think. Life is not as bad as people think it could be or that it is. You know, we can find the goodness and the brightness of life in ourselves, and, you know, bring that to everyone else. Like I said, it's about spreading and sharing. And I just wanted to share my words with you guys today and say thank you for those who are listening. Happy Friday. You know, enjoy the weekend. Appreciate the weekend. You know, spend it with family, because next week is the real day of we should be appreciating one another and giving thanks. So why not get a head start into it now, you know? So from us into the Lord, I say I appreciate you guys. Amen. God bless.